This week on the Auto Trader Podcast.
So there was a famous social media post or reel or video on TikTok of this guy telling a woman to get out of his car.
Yeah.
And
with profanities.
With profanities. And ever since then, it's been known as...
Car. Yeah.
That car.
And welcome back to another fabulous episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. I'm here with the two legends themselves, two men that have both driven a Mustang and worn leather jackets. We have Mr. Nurse and Mr. Faree. How are you gents doing?
Mine wasn't real leather, it was pleather.
Mine was real leather.
Pleather for breakfast. There we go. So, lads, today's episode is going to be South Africa's colorful car nicknames. Now, we have a significant history of car nicknames. Sometimes it's just for a laugh, but then some it's symbolic. Sometimes it's also relating to popular culture of the time, what the car represents pretty much. Now, we're not going to chat about all the car nicknames. We're just going to talk about some of the most popular ones. And we encourage you all just to get down into the comments and also comment about the ones which you find also most fascinating, maybe ones that... all quite popular as well in some areas and whatnot. So let's kick things off. We'll talk about a classic. Like, we're both youngish lads. I say that with a bit of pension.
Why do you say both? Yeah, why are you excluding me?
Is Reino excluded from this, or am I the old one?
You can decide that amongst yourselves. Anyways. So we grew up in South Africa. We spent some time on the roads, and you've probably seen the Volk C or the Volo. So what car do you think that is?
Has to be the Beetle, right? Yeah. Air-cooled goodness. A lot of people, you know, our parents' age, people who are old, unlike us, who are very young, all three of us, Tay.
And as a South African, like Afrikaner, sorry, can I correct you? It's a Foxy or a Vola, not a Vola.
I'll get my revenge later. You'll see.
Oh, he's coming back with some revenge, because some of these names here, I've looked at the script, I don't think we're going to be able to pronounce right now.
Okay. So... sorry, Tay.
He'll get his own back here.
It will come back eventually. But anyways, the Beetle, it's a popular shape. We know the Beetle has been one of the pinnacle cars of the time, where it's affordable, it's reliable, and hence the name, it's the people's car, or slogan for Volkswagen. So that was one of the most popular cars also. Then we had the likes of the unique Type 2 Kombi, which was called the Molo Fish. Do you know why it's called the Molo Fish?
I believe there was it's a Canadian show called Molo Fish that featured the car in some of the episodes. It had that.
I think it was a Canadian show, but I know it's something that aired on SABC2 for some reason.
From what I recall, it was definitely a Canadian series, and then that car featured in it. So it just became affectionately known as the Molo Fish in South Africa. There's another microbus. Yeah. I'm sure you know, Kombi, called the Karakara.
Yep, the Karakara, the legendary ones. Yeah. People have dropped them. People put exclusive stickers on them, apart from the city golfs and whatnot of the time that you'd expect. And like, the Karakara was an interesting one in that it also housed the VR6 motor, if I'm not mistaken. Or did it?
It had a what I would call a Subaru sounding style engine. It sounds the bearing knock.
He's starting again. You see him. He's starting.
Yeah, no, but it had quite a distinctive sound. They're very sought after. I think they were and are still to a certain extent seen as like show and shine vehicles that are used as like pop culture icons in South Africa. Especially that exclusive badge, man. I see that thing on everything. I see them still today, 30 years later.
Let me ask you lads this. When you were in primary school or even high school to some extent, did you have that tuck shop Danny that always used to come in a Karakara or something?
Absolutely.
There's always one.
So at my school, she had a Synchro.
Oh.
The lady had a Synchro, the four-wheel drive version. Nice. And it had no rear seats. She just used to come in there packed with pies and salad rolls and, you know, tartazine-filled drinks, all the good stuff that we had back in our primary school days.
And then the ice cream truck just labeled Roemais. Is that how you say ice cream? Please judge me on my pronunciation. Roemais. There we go.
I'm judging you this whole show. Anyway.
Moving on. Another nickname for convertible. Silahla. What do you think that means?
If I hadn't read the script, I would have absolutely no idea, Tay. But I believe it means take it off.
Take it off.
Quite apt, I would say, for a car that's a convertible. I mean,
because also what convertibles would have come out at the time, like in the 90s? I mean, we did have that little Peugeot 306, if it was. That was also convertible. And just a lot of convertible cars were just around.
Had an MX-5. Chad intensifies. Well. He's probably lurking around you after you heard MX-5.
He's popped
from
up
the
in
Italians,
the corner.
Yeah, the Barchetta.
Barchetta, actually, yeah. That was actually a really nice car as well. Mm-hmm. Don't see many of them anymore. They're probably hidden somewhere. I'm going to have to search around for that.
There are two BMW cabriolets that whenever I think of the word cabriolet, they spring to mind. It's the E36 328. Mm-hmm. Do you remember those? And then the 330 Ci, E46 shape. I always envision that car being gold with the top down and some person going through some form of midlife crisis while they cruise in it. But that those cars, for me, are synonymous with cabriolet, the word cabriolet.
For me, it's like the bottle green with their peanut butter interior.
Yes. I can also picture that.
Moving on. So the next one is an Afrikaans nickname for the Toyota Hilux. I'm going to try my best with this. Reyna, stop looking at me. Can he do it?
I think he did a good job.
You were pretty on point. Can he do it?
Yeah, which basically means...
It can't die.
It can't die. No matter what you throw at it, it's just not going to die. I can just imagine just two gents just looking at a Hilux and like, yeah, it can never die.
Especially, I think it's called the KZE.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Those epitomize the can he do it for me because... I've seen those things with, you know, a million Ks on and the owner's like, it's just run in. So, I mean, those are super, super canny do it products.
And those were not necessarily the type of bucky that people were like taking care of. Those were very utilitarian, very much abused.
Construction, farming, you know, kids taking the dad's car out and just having a ball on the plus or something. That's how you say farm, right?
I'm sure. Plus.
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 Plus. Stretch it out. I got
Subaru.
You.
Subaru.
Like your song.
I guess. Then speaking of buckies as well, the side pockets.
Yes.
What do you reckon the side pocket could be?
Those are the Chevy utility and Corsa utility buckies. There was a weird phase when the Opel Corsa became a Chev badged and then that a completely a changed shape phase, to the Chev utility. But do you remember when the car that still looked like the Corsa utility just had a Chevy badge on? That's the sort of side pocket era we're talking about. And I believe that stems from, is that like a side person, like a person you have on the side in over and above your relationship? And the side pocket is like reference to that.
It could be that deep of a meaning, but then I think it's just probably because there's a little step on the side of the vehicle so you can actually get into the low bin. I think that's
like
where
little,
it came from.
A little storage area that you've got because you've got a tiny bucky instead of a gunny do it.
Sean's deeper meanings, everyone.
I'll be honest, I've never heard about side pockets before.
The side pockets.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that little pocket in your jeans. It's like, what is that little pocket actually for?
It's for a coin. I know Tiger Woods made it very popular so he could keep his quarter in there so he could mark his ball.
As you
learn something new every day on this podcast.
There you go. And we need to get on to the next one because it will be considered a national crime if we didn't. The famous Gusheshe, which is the BMW 325 IS. And the name comes from township slang because the vehicle was used prominently in street racing and then also it's just a symbol of speed and status. So if you had that car, you were the Don, pretty much. And then it was just synonymous of all the things that happened at the time between the 1980s and the 1990s. And I think now it used to be that cheap car that you just go have a ball of it and, you know, go to town of it. Sometimes you'd maybe set it to pasture. But that's kind of changed now because how much a 325 IS is going for these days?
I've seen one for 3 million rand. Yeah. I have a very interesting story about 325 IS, right? So BMW South Africa did a restoration program. I'm sure Renault was involved as well. They did a
Renault was involved
in some way, shape, or form. They did a BMW M1. They did a 333i, and they did 325iS Evo 2. And obviously, 333 and 325iS, both Evos were local developments because we didn't get the E30 M3 in South Africa. So it's local endeavors to create a uniquely South African performance BMW. Mm-hmm. And that's why they've become so iconic. And they allowed us to drive a 333 and a 325iS through the streets of Soweto.
Lucky people.
Yeah, that was a bucket list day for me. And I learned that day that it means the car of the gangster, in a roughly translated, I think.
No surprise. Yeah.
But a car that's associated with, like, you know, that sort of underworld crime and
the ilk, if you will.
Yeah. So it's such a cool car. I think they're a bit unobtainium at the moment. They've gone a bit ridiculous in pricing. But it's just, that is about as South African as you can get automotive wise is a Gusheshe. So what an icon. And if you can own one, get one, keep it, maybe don't drive it because it is a high risk, but,
and that's the thing. I've never driven one. Interestingly, not an E30 at all. I've always seen them and I'm like, this is the car that eludes me in terms of driving. So maybe that can change one day. Let's see what's up. But anyways, the next one, because it's named after an undergarment, the E46 BMW 3 Series, affectionately named the G-String.
Yeah.
That tells you everything you need to know, pretty much.
The G-String. I believe it's got something to do with the way the boot is styled. It looks kind of like a person wearing a G-String. But
a bum.
Yeah, looks like a bum with a G-string.
The rare of the vehicle.
That's a very layered joke.
It's a layered joke that's in the Auto Trader content team lore somewhere, but anyways.
And then, not just exclusive to the South American rainforest or a reasonably entertaining ride at Gold Reef City, the word anaconda is also associated with another BMW. I believe it's the, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
E38 7 Series.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
A very famous action star drove that vehicle. And he also drove the pants off of it. Interesting.
In the Transporter, yeah. E38 7 Series in Transporter. That's known as the Anaconda in South Africa. I believe because of the way the kidney grill and long bonnets are sort of situated, it resembles that massive snake.
And also, it just resembles the amount of times that movie has played on ETV as well.
Only on E, as he reminds you every 15
Squab
seconds.
Squab ski aids.
WWE SmackDown.
Then next up, there should be a shake while we're speaking about BMWs. BMW receives some of the most interesting nicknames. I haven't seen anything of Mercedes, interestingly, but if anyone's heard any Mercedes-related nicknames, please let us know in the comments below. Why is it called the Shabir Sheikh? I think we all know for some reason.
He was allegedly too sick to be in prison or to be tried, and yet I think it was in 2007 or 2009. I'm getting my dates jumbled up here. But he was then spotted driving this BMW. Now, when I was doing some research for this, it said it was an E46 320i.
Yeah.
But when I look up the word Shabir Sheikh BMW, it brings up an E90 generation 320i.
Yeah.
So that for me is the Shabir Sheikh, the 320i E90 generation.
Everyone's really just known it as that in popular culture. So I guess we kind of go for it. Which one do you think it is? Let us know. Then after that, one that I actually haven't heard before, the boots.
Yes. So there's two BMWs that are named affectionately. One is an international nickname after it's called the Clown Shoe, which is the first M Coupe. But in South Africa, the first generation one series, so the E generation, that's called Boots because I believe it resembles a shoe the way that it is styled. So it looks like a trainer. So that's called Boots. Quite an interesting nickname. That was a bit of a deep dive into South African car nicknames. If you have any others that we potentially haven't heard of, just let us know.
Oh, you went real deep. Real deep in this. Anyways. Then we also got another one that should be mentioned because, again, if we don't, it's going to be a national crime. The Vura. So where does the Vuoro come from exactly? The VR6, Golf 3, Jetta of the same era as well. Slowly becoming unobtainium as well, because I've seen some ratty ones, but then we've also been seeing a lot of clean ones come up as well. And those ones are kind of like rising up in the valuation scale for the most part. But what do you lads reckon about a VR6? It's such an ingenious motor when you think about it.
Yeah, it's between a straight six and a V6. It's a sort of staggered cylinder layout. It creates that very unique sound that I think VR6 and R32 Golf really showcase. Mm. But the name Fura is...
Or Fura.
I don't know how to say it, but for the English nuts out there, it's an onomatopoeia. So it's a word that is conceived by the way that it sounds.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting cultural development that we got this VR6. When it comes past, people heard it and then they're like, oh, there's the Fura. And there's another VW coming up later that is named after this, the sound that it makes. A very distinctive sound. I'm sure you guys already know what it is.
We will know it.
Yeah.
I can see Reno in a Jetta 3 VR6. It would suit him, actually. It would.
A Jetta VR6. I don't know. I see him in like a Hammer.
The first
AMG. I could see him playing Russian rock music. Yeah. That's what I see. I see him driving a Hammer.
Like gangster music. And I'll have like the full tracksuit.
The full Adidas tracksuit.
To go with it.
He comes out in front of his car. He just squats for a picture.
Exactly. Gold chains.
Let's make it happen.
We'll make it happen one way or another.
So that leads us to the next car, which is the Vrpa.
Uh-huh. So that's one of the more modern nicknames that came from the Golf GTI and the DSG fart, essentially, that it makes when it changes gears. So it became synonymous of, because the car is also so fast and because of the sound it makes, it has an impact for noise, hence the name Vrpa.
So, yeah. And there's so many Vrpas now. So anything that's vaguely sporty, that's got a dual clutch gearbox, is a Vrpa. Yeah.
Pretty much.
i30N is a very impressive Vrpa because it makes a big Vrpa. The very controversial C63 now makes one of the biggest Vrpas out there because it makes a massive burp on those upshifts. But anyway, let me not get toasted in the comment section again.
Rather toasty. It's like put him on temperature setting number 2.
Yeah.
Come out really nice.
Jeepers. And then what's this next one here? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Budwa.
The Budwa.
It's local culture associated with tight clothing. I don't wear tight clothing. You gents don't wear tight clothing, so we're not within that demographic. But apparently that's related to the Polo, which has the round lights.
Yes.
So that is the 9N, if I'm not mistaken.
The fourth generation Polo. Yeah, the round lights, the one that made the 1.9 TDI so synonymous.
Yeah, that 1.9 TDI was actually such a lovely motor.
They're still lovely. Yeah. If you can find one that hasn't been modified to death.
And maintained also, that's the other thing, because they were actually really good cars. Then the next one, of course, this is three national crimes in a row if we don't mention them. The beloved City Golf. The City Golf has been everywhere. It's built a nation, if you will, apart from the Mitsubishi Colt and some other vehicles as well. And South Africans just love a good Mark 1. All the way back from 19-something all the way to even 2024. Like, I went to VW Campfest beginning of this year, and of course, you're going to see a bunch of Mark 1s, that much is for certain. And just the love and passion that people share for these cars. Do you have a love and passion for the Mark 1, though?
I love a Mark 1 Golf, but City Golf was only a specific model within the range. Mm-hmm. But it's had such a big cultural impact that all first-generation Golfs are just called City Golf now. Mm-hmm. That's how big of an impact that vehicle had. I mean, the original City Golf is that sort of blue, yellow, or red with the white painted steel
the
wheels.
Pastel color swatch, pretty much.
Yeah, so that was the original City Golf. And then we had things like Velocity. There was a strange Wolf edition. There was a Billabong edition. There was a bunch. There was a GTS. There were some very cool iterations of the car, but they're all affectionately known as The City Golf.
And what it also formed part of, I guess I'd say in the 90s and early 2000s as well, along with the Toyota Taz and the Opel Corsa Lite, the starter packs, pretty much. Whether you're playing Pokemon, whether you're just getting a starter pack as you would. That's what they used to call SIM cards back in those days. Yes. Not anymore. Yeah. This was the cards that were presented to you and like, okay, this is your entry into motoring. So make your first pick, pretty much.
Yeah, the starter packs. I actually have heard this a few times, especially I think more in more modern times, it's shifted from starter pack to fuel saver. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, like fuel, S-A-V-A, fuel saver. Mm-hmm. And that's like a car like Renault's Corsa Lite. Those are fuel savers. They're like reasonable in terms of pricing, and they're very light on fuel and cheap to maintain. So that's the modern starter pack, I would say, is called a fuel saver now.
So by the way, I might be selling one soon. So watch out for an Auto Trader.
If you're looking for a starter pack.
Buy his Corsa.
That was a good plug. I like it.
Then one of the newer nicknames for the Isuzu D-Max, which it got recently, I had the AT35 on test, and which was a mental vehicle, might I add. And basically the name is Noguaja. Noguaja, which basically translates to rabbit.
Okay. Yeah, so like I don't really know how to interpret that, but we all moderate the comments on our social channels, and every time there's an Isuzu article, it performs very well. Mm-hmm. And the social engagement, I would say 30% of the comments have the word Noguaja in it. Mm-hmm. So I had to look that up, and that's the new nickname for the Isuzu D-Max.
It's a rabbit. So it probably hops like a rabbit pretty much. You want to take it off some jumps or dunes? That would actually be pretty fun. I mean, Lawrence actually took the AT35. I think it was in the Eastern Cape Mountains or something near where it was built. So check out that article on site if you haven't already. Very picturesque. And that AT35 is a really capable bucky, I must say. Some people argue that it's excess a bit with the lift suspension and all that, but don't let me get carried away with this. But yeah. Then the Mercedes-Benz V-Class. I actually was, thinking about V-Class earlier, and we finally got to it. So, Dion, I know you're editing this, so you're probably going to have to censor my voice and my mouth. We know what it's called.
Yes.
You can call.
Yeah. So there was a famous social media post or reel or video on TikTok of this guy telling a woman to get out of his car.
Yeah.
And
with profanities.
With profanities. And ever since then, it's been known as
the car.
So, and it's become a cultural icon, the V-Class, in its own right. It's seen as a massively premium way of getting around. It's like a status symbol.
Yeah.
And whenever we post anything about a V-Class, it does so well on site. There's so much engagement. And I remember when I first started here, I had one on test, and I took some pretty impromptu photos because I didn't realize that the test was 5 days instead of seven. So I quickly had to take photos before I took the vehicle back. Mm. And that turned out to be like the most fruitful photo shoots of my career, because those photos, or that one particular front shot of that vehicle, has been used to death in not only our pages, but other publications have just used the photos. So
stealing your photos.
It happens more often than you know, trust
so,
us.
I mean, the car has become such a cultural icon in South Africa, V-Class. I mean, it's a good car. It's a bit old now, but it still has this serious prestige to it in the local market.
An air of elegance, if you will.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate people carrier in terms of, you know, because it's the bright brand and you've got the swivel seats and you can have meetings in the back. It's a proper.
But if I'm not mistaken, there is a new one dropping very soon.
Yes,
pretty soon.
It will be here within the next year, I would say, at least. I went to an event, I think, last year, and then they alluded to the fact that it's on its way. Electrified options. So we'll have to see. It's going to be just as popular, I would imagine.
Okay, then the next up, this was also a bit of an interesting one. And it's a car that's often seen parked outside of KFC at the time. And it was used as, I guess you'd say, a wingman of sense, or wing car, actually, we can say.
Pun intended.
pun intended, to help you out on a date. And we have the Kentucky Rounder, which was the Toyota Corolla twin cam. I love those twin cams. to bits.
Yep.
And the thing is with them also, how it even got the name Kentucky Rhonda, it's just, it's so outrageous when you think about it. But
so the implication was that the people who owned those cars were taking dates to KFC predominantly. I would imagine, because they'd spent all their money on fuel and on the twin cab. So they're like, look, you're getting a Streetwise too, because I got to pay for fuel to get you back home, you know?
Be the smart man. Get a sharing meal and say that, you know, I got a platter for us. Yeah.
But no drinks.
No drinks. You could have tap water. Thanks.
We brought water from home. It's fine. Then, okay, let's not also forget a common sight on our roads, the Toyota Hiace, which is called the Zola Bud, which is named after a famous marathon runner. The Hiaces are everywhere. Although it's not, this is the thing with the nomenclature surrounding the Hiace in particular. People know the popular names like the Sierra, the Sesfigile in terms of the Quantum, and then now it's gone back to Hiace again. So it's always been a Hiace. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But now with the new Quantum popping up and then being a premium model in this instance now, it's kind of like changed things up a bit. But yeah, Hiace, common sight on the roads.
And that's for the previous Hiace, the previous gen. Now the new Quantum-based one, I know that we've had stickers, as in physical stickers on the car, giving it a nickname. But let us know in the comments if there's another nickname for these cars, if there's something that we're missing here. It would be interesting to
find out. I've got a few for them in the morning.
I'm sure we all do.
Then just to wrap up, we have the final one here, which is a Skedonk, which is basically used for any old or battered vehicle that's a little bit long in the tooth, a little bit tired. And we've seen that with some of our cars and we're just like, it's probably time to retire it.
Yeah. When I think of a Skedonk, I think of a Mazda Sting with a questionable service and maintenance track record, smoking in traffic and getting in my way. Then I go, look at the Skedonk in front of me here. And that's just what pops into my mind. I don't know about you guys.
You're actually not wrong, because I was with my grandfather in the car one time, just in December, we're just driving around in that. And then there's always this car that pops up in traffic or just on a main road or something. And as you said, it's always a Mazda Sting, whether it's the hatch or the sedan. This thing was making a racket of a noise from the exhaust, but it's like the engine is saying yes, but the wheels are saying no.
Yeah.
And it's just making a racket of a noise, but it's going like 10Ks an hour, just trying to get up to speed.
Oh, yeah.
The Sting is not a bad car. That was also another starter pack, might we add. But
yes,
it's just the thing is, as you said, it's a lot of it is owner related. That's the issue.
They've just had a bad ownership history. Shame. Worst thing.
And Corsas these days.
And Corsas. Fuel savers.
Shame. Oh, no. But anyways. So yeah, just to wrap things up. Yeah, there you have it. That's some of our most beloved, most famous car nicknames. If you have any that you would like to share, please let us know in the comments below. And please judge us on our pronunciations as well, because there's a bit of a hard time doing this. But anyways, if you like this, please don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so you don't miss another Auto Trader SA video. That's it for now. I'm here with Mr. Nurse and Mr. Faree and myself, the guy, and I'll be seeing you all later.
Search Auto Trader.